This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Friday, May 20th, 2016. Coming up this hour.
Global equities are higher following a surge in expectations for a U.S. interest rate increase.
The June 23rd referendum on the U.K.'s membership in the European Union is top of mind at a G7 summit in Japan today.
Bids for Yahoo reportedly may fall short of the expected $4 to $8 billion range.
Investigators are looking for answers as to what happened to Egypt Air Flight 804, plus more barbs traded between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the Yankees win back-to-back road games. It looked like a good pitching matchup on paper at Citi Field, and LeBron and the Cavs are a perfect 10-0 in the postseason.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg The First Word, on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg, the first word, is brought to you by Brown University, where the new executive master in cybersecurity prepares leaders in law, technology, and business to face tomorrow's greatest threats. The Brown University executive master in cybersecurity, strategy is the best security.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 45. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 14. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. CAC in Paris up 1.1%. And the FT 100 up 1.4%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32. The yield 1.85%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.89%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 14 cents to $48.30 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $3.10 to $12.58 an ounce. The euro, $1.1224. The yen, 110.23.
And in Japan today, G7 finance ministers and central bankers are meeting behind closed doors. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann is there.
Bob, we are hearing competing views among G7 nations on how exactly to deal with fiscal policy. And overnight, we did hear some criticism from the U.S. when it came to FX policy as central bank governors and finance ministers are gathering here today. They were talking about global growth recovery and saying that any nation that decides to make any movements on its currency would show the signal that basically they're trying to boost their competitiveness and would not help in the global growth recovery. We kicked off G7 last night with local tradition here in Japan, the bashing of the sake barrels. Will we hear a bashing of Japan's economic policies? It seems unlikely at this point. Japan has hinted it has the moves to put the brakes on the yen's 10% appreciation this year, but Bank of Japan Governor Hirohiko Kuroda avoided the question altogether, but he did reiterate his view on BOJ policies, saying that they will take actions if factors including FX will be a risk to its 2% inflation goal. Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Radio, Sendai, Japan.
Thanks, Yvonne. HSBC Holdings plans to shut nearly half of its branches in India. Instead, the bank will rely more on digital banking to expand its consumer business in the area. HSBC will cut 24 of its 50 branches, which account for less than 10% of the bank's retail customer base in India.
Deutsche Bank is probing a group of employees over trades that may have involved, quote, unacceptable conflicts of interest. The Wall Street Journal reports internal auditors estimate the current and former employees made about $37 million on the transactions. The group's bonus payments have been halted while the trades are scrutinized.
Equities in Europe are posting strong gains this morning. We get the latest details live from Bloomberg First Word Europe anchor Neera Chehich. Good morning, Neera.
Good morning. Yeah, not as strong gains as earlier. We were seeing the Stock 600 up more than 1% earlier. It's now just shy of that, up 0.9%. But commodity producers and oil and gas companies still leading the gains. And it is rebounding, of course, from losses yesterday. In terms of stocks we're watching, the biggest gainer at the moment is UniCredit, up 5.7%. This is after people familiar said that the bank is considering selling a stake in its online broker, Fineco Bank, and also reviewing holdings in Poland and Turkey to raise capital. So UniCredit higher, Richemont down about 2% at the moment. And this is after we got sales numbers from Richemont. It did say that it would have a difficult first half after sales plunged 18% in April. Its full year earnings also missed analyst estimates. And then Gameloft, this has risen as much as 11%, hit its highest level since 2014 after Vivendi raised its bid for the maker of mobile games to €8 a share as the French media group Vivendi is looking to build support for a hostile offer that expires next week. Bob?
Neera Chahich, live in London, thanks. Bayer's unsolicited takeover offer for Monsanto is being met with skepticism from Bayer investors. Shares of the drug maker plunged yesterday as concerns mounted that the German company would need to take on too much debt to acquire Monsanto. According to people familiar with the matter, Bayer is considering asset disposals and a share sale to finance the deal.
New York Federal Reserve President William Dudley says the Fed is moving closer to raising interest rates at one of its next two meetings.
If I'm convinced that my own forecast is sort of on track, then I think a tightening in the summer, the June, July timeframe is a reasonable expectation.
New York Fed President Dudley's remark echoed sentiment in the Federal Open Market Committee minutes from its April meeting. His colleague, Richmond Fed President Jeffrey Lacker, expressed a similar position while speaking exclusively with Bloomberg Radio yesterday.
I certainly supported the rate increase at the April meeting, and I think a rate increase at the March meeting would have been perfectly reasonable as well.
Richmond Fed President Lacker tells Bloomberg the case is strong for raising rates in June. Fed funds futures currently put the probability of a June rate hike at 28%.
Gap's Old Navy brand is leaving Japan as it copes with the sales decline. Here's Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The chain will close its 53 stores in the country this year, letting it refocus on North America and China. In another sign of the San Francisco-based company's difficulties, Gap did not reaffirm its earnings forecast for the year, saying the retail climate would have to improve in order to meet the target. CEO Art Peck is taking more drastic measures after a planned turnaround this spring failed to materialize. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Charlie. Bids for Yahoo may fall short of the expected $4 to $8 billion range. The Wall Street Journal says Verizon Communications and other potential suitors are expected to bid around $2 to $3 billion in the auction for Yahoo's core business. Futures rising with S&P E-mini futures up 4.5 points this morning. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. And this hour of the First Word is brought to you by Mount Kisco Volvo. Visit MountKiscoVolvo.com. The latest on that plane crash mystery. Let's bring in Michael Barr now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Bob. Egyptian authorities say plane parts and personal items have been found from Egypt Air Flight 804. The military says the wreckage was found by planes and ships this morning about 180 miles north of Alexandria in the Mediterranean. France has sent an investigative team to Cairo in the wake of yesterday's Egypt Air crash. The plane with 66 people aboard was headed to Cairo from Paris. FBI Director James Comey.
So far, at least, we have no claim of responsibility or evidence that this was an intentional act. But the FBI, as you would expect, is working with our partners around the world to try and gain a better understanding of what happened.
Former U.S. National Transportation Safety Board member John Galea believes the Airbus A320 is more likely to have been brought down by a bomb than a structural or mechanical failure. Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton says it looks like an act of terrorism. Clinton, during a CNN interview, also took aim at Donald Trump. Clinton, when asked whether the presumptive Republican presidential nominee was qualified to hold office, said no.
I know how hard this job is, and I know that we need steadiness as well as strength and smarts in it. And I have concluded he is not qualified to be president.
Meanwhile, Trump criticized Clinton yesterday for refusing to use the term radical Islamic terrorism, especially after the Egypt Air incident.
She refuses to use that term. And I'm saying to myself, what just happened about 12 hours ago? A plane got blown out of the sky. And if anybody thinks it wasn't blown out of the sky, you're 100% wrong, folks, okay? You're 100% wrong.
Trump spoke at a fundraiser in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, to help pay off Governor Chris Christie's campaign debt. Trump says the $200 a head fundraiser wiped Christie's debt clean. The lead suspect in last November's Paris attacks is refusing to answer questions. Salah Abdeslam was brought from a prison in a Paris suburb to the main Paris courthouse this morning to be questioned by investigating judges. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus around the world. I'm Mike LaBarre. Bob?
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Now your Land Rover Persephone Bloomberg NBC Sports Update from Rob Bushka. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning to you, Bob. Solid starting pitching. That's really been the key for the Yankees. The past two wins on the road. New York opened up a four-game weekend set in Oakland with the win, but playing long ball doesn't hurt.
Pitch is swung on and hit in the air to deep left field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a two-run home run over the right center field scoreboard. So Beltran belts one.
Yankees radio on the call. 4-1 was the final. For the second time in as many games, skipper Joe Girardi pulled his starter after six innings. Only 62 pitches hurled for Ivan Nova, now 3-1 on the year. Series continues tonight at 9:35. CC Sabathia meets Sonny Gray. Mets fans are waiting for the return of the Dark Knight as once untouchable Matt Harvey was roughed up by the Nationals at Citi Field 9-1 in a loss. Harvey didn't get out of the third inning, allowing nine runs, including a two-run homer to former teammate Daniel Murphy. Harvey's now 3-6. Homestand continues tonight versus Milwaukee. Willie Peralta faces Steven Matz. Giants win their eighth in a row. They win a perfect 7-0 on their road trip. To the NBA playoffs, Eastern Conference Finals, the well-rested Cavaliers are now 10-0 in the postseason. They lead Toronto 2-0 after a 108-89 win in Cleveland. LeBron James had a triple-double as the series moves north of the border. And on the ice out west, San Jose puts up back-to-back shutouts, 3-0 over St. Louis. Sharks lead the Western Conference Finals 2-1. And tonight, the Penguins visit the Lightning. They are up 2-1. Is Pittsburgh in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks very much, Rob Bushka. According to people familiar with the matter, the National Football League is moving its Pro Bowl to Orlando. Honolulu has hosted the All-Star event every year, but twice since 1979. The game will be played at Orlando's Citrus Bowl, which underwent a $200 million renovation 2 years ago. The NFL has declined to comment on our report. Coming up, we'll size up bankruptcy activity with Bloomberg Brief editor Alex Rosen's S&P E-mini futures up 4 points at this hour. And the sports report was brought to you by Land Rover Parsippany. The spring sales event is happening now. Visit LandRoverParsippany.com. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Today we're looking for a report on existing home sales out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time, and Deere & Company is among those scheduled to report earnings today. Financial markets showing signs of stabilizing after being buffeted this week by a surge in expectations for a U.S. interest rate increase, with global stocks rebounding from a six-week low as oil rallies. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures up 4 points, Dow E-mini futures up 38, and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 12. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. CAC in Paris up 1%. FT 100 up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury little change. Yield 1.85%. Yield on the 2-year 0.89%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 17 cents to $48.33 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $3 to $12.5780 an ounce. The euro, $1.1217. The yen, 110.30. Applied Materials is up 9.5% this morning after it forecasted third-quarter sales that may beat analyst estimates. And Urban Outfitters is up 0.9% in early trading. It was upgraded to overweight cautious from equal-weight cautious at Morgan Stanley. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Egyptian authorities say wreckage and personal belongings from the missing Egypt airplane that vanished from radar have been found. A military spokesman says Egyptian military aircraft and naval ships this morning found plane parts about 180 miles north of Alexandria in the Mediterranean. Egypt Air Flight 804 bound for Cairo from Paris had 66 people on board. France's foreign minister and a top transport official say there is still no sign of what brought down the plane yesterday. A $1.1 billion plan to combat the Zika virus has cleared the Senate with bipartisan support. It is less than the $1.9 billion sought by President Obama. The White House says the president is set to veto a House version, which totals $622 million. In sports, Major League Baseball, the Yankees down the A's, the Mets lost to the Nationals, the Giants won, the Orioles lost. More on these and other stories at the bottom of the hour.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
And your Bloomberg Brief update brought to you by CIT. From transportation to healthcare to manufacturing, CIT offers commercial lending, leasing, and treasury management services for small and middle market businesses. Learn more at CIT.com. Put knowledge to work. Time for what you might call our canary in the coal mine report from Bloomberg Brief editor Alex Rosens. And you can learn a lot from our distress and bankruptcy newsletter. And when does that come out, Alex?
It comes out a little later this morning at 9 o'clock. It's now a weekly. We've restructured it, rebuilt it, retooled it, made it better.
Okay. And we've talked a lot, painfully so, about the hit that the energy business has taken lately from oil prices. But that also breeds opportunity?
Well, we spoke with an interesting investor. He specializes in distressed opportunities. He's based in Philadelphia. His name's Greg Siegel, and he's with Versa Capital. And he's actually looking at some of the service companies that provide different pipes or services to the industry. And his thinking is that even though rig count may go down, the maintenance of these businesses is still needed. And those are the businesses that he's looking at, and he's actually backed a couple of them.
Okay, well, that's good for the ever the optimist. But what about the real picture for energy still out there?
Well, the picture is still bleak. This week we had Sandridge and Brightburn Energy file, and those were not piddly little filings. Brightburn had $3 billion of debt, and Sandridge Energy had $4 billion of debt. This week we also had an interesting case from Dex Media. It's an old Yellow Pages directory publisher, and that business filed yet again for the third time in about 7 years. But back to energy, there are more filings in a pipeline, no pun intended, and these businesses are expected to keep coming. We spoke with some folks in the distressed advisory industry. These are the specialists that help guide the businesses through a restructuring or court process. And some of them are actually opening up offices in Houston now because they're down there so routinely. Mm-hmm. In fact, this week, Peter J. Salmon, which is a New York-based firm, it announced that it hired a team of specialists that operate in the energy space, and they have a Houston business now, an office there.
Now, you say more filings ahead. Is there any sign at all that this problem is going to abate as we've seen oil prices, for example, tick up?
We've asked people, what does it take for this to, what price point has to help? And some folks have said 60 a barrel, so today we're at 48 a barrel. But I think for many businesses, the damage has already been done. If they borrowed 2 years ago when oil was north of 100 a barrel, their expectations and their whole financing was such that they were expecting to be able to service that debt at 100 a barrel. If you're at 48 a barrel, you're still having a troubled time.
Now, is this the bulk of bankruptcy activity right now?
For right now, when it comes to large bankruptcies, this is the bulk. We have 41% of our large Chapter 11 cases are energy businesses. And we're at the liveliest pace since 2009 in terms of large caseload. That was right after 2008 when we had our financial credit crisis here and with Lehman's downfall. We've got 72 defaults globally. So it's not just U.S. companies that are in trouble, but it's 72 defaults, according to SAP, year to date. And that's the busiest pace since 2009.
I want to bring you back to something you mentioned earlier. I have often wondered, does anybody use the Yellow Pages anymore? And I guess I got my answer.
I think you have your answer because there's nobody really using it. I mean, we all use our iPhones to take a quick peek at where to go, where to find things, and what their even their hours of business, which you couldn't do that with a Yellow Pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's and they actually part of that business was created out of a bankruptcy. One business bought its another competitor out of bankruptcy, and yet three times in Chapter 11 court.
Well, they sure tried though. Those books just kept stacking up outside my door.
What did you do with them? I didn't do anything. They went right into the recycling bin, right?
Alexander Rosen's from Bloomberg Brief. You can read Alex's analysis and other news, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletter. Sign up now at BloombergBriefs.com, or for terminal customers, just use the function Brief Go. S&P E-mini futures up 4 points right now. That is 0.2%. You're listening to Bloomberg, the first word on Bloomberg Radio. And the first word brought to you by the accountants and advisors at Eisner Amper. Cybersecurity is on the mind of every business leader. Managing cyber risk should be too. Get started with a cyber risk assessment. Learn more. EisnerAmper.com/cyber risk.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg, the first word.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's catch up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. G7 finance ministers and central bankers meeting in Japan today are discussing the possibility of a U.K. exit from the European Union as one of the biggest risks on the horizon. That's according to officials from G7 members who declined to be identified because the talks are private.
Deutsche Bank is probing a group of employees over trades that may have involved, quote, unacceptable conflicts of interest. The Wall Street Journal reports internal auditors estimate the current and former employees made about $37 million on the transactions.
Applied Materials forecast third quarter sales that may surpass analyst estimates. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett tells us more.
Applied Materials is the biggest maker of machinery used to manufacture semiconductors, and its report indicates some chipmakers are pushing ahead with transitions to the latest production technology. Improvements in Applied's order book are being driven by semiconductor companies' focus on advancing their production techniques to remain competitive with rivals. While that fuels demand for newer types of gear, it may not be an indicator of an overall acceleration in demand for electronics. Chipmakers order Applied's equipment based on estimates of future demand from electronics manufacturers, and that process makes Applied's forecasts a leading indicator of industry-wide demand. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Charlie. And shares of Applied Materials are up 9% this morning.
Meanwhile, bids for Yahoo may fall short of the expected $4 to $8 billion range. The Wall Street Journal says Verizon Communications and other potential suitors are expected to bid around $2 to $3 billion in the auction for Yahoo's core business. And Yahoo shares are trading down 2.7% this morning.
The Volatility Index Report is brought to you by CBOE VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomesVIX. The VIX gained 2.4% yesterday to close at 16.33. That's the third straight day the index rose. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are down almost 1% to 16.18. And that's the Volatility Report.
And futures are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 5 points this morning. Dow E-mini futures up 49. And NASDAQ E-mini futures up 15. DAX in Germany's up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 1.85%. The yield on the 2-year 0.89%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 17 cents to $48.33 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.30 at $12.58.10 an ounce. This is Bloomberg, the first word.
Thanks, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. And this news update is brought to you by Mount Kisco Volvo. Visit MountKiscoVolvo.com. The intensive search goes on across the Mediterranean. Let's bring in Michael Barr now with the very latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Remains of wreckage and belongings from an Egypt airplane have been located off the coast of Alexandria, according to Egypt's Civil Aviation Ministry. Plane parts and personal belongings were found by Egyptian military aircraft and naval ships this morning, about 180 miles north of Alexandria in the Mediterranean. Investigators are looking for answers as to what happened to Egypt Air Flight 804. France's foreign minister and a top transport official say there was still no sign of what brought down the Airbus A320. The plane was close to the end of its Paris to Cairo flight early yesterday when Greece's defense minister says the plane swerved wildly and plummeted into the sea. As for what brought down Egypt Air Flight 804, FBI Director James Comey says so far there was no claim of responsibility.
We don't know exactly what this is yet, but we have spent 15 years since September 11th building extraordinary capabilities to understand threats.
The plane had 66 people on board. More barbs have been traded between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Clinton, during a CNN interview, was asked if Donald Trump was qualified to be president.
No, I do not. And I think the kinds of positions he is stating and the consequences of those positions and even the consequences of his statements are not just offensive to people, they are potentially dangerous.
Meanwhile, Trump says people look at America with a critical eye.
We are not going to be the stupid country anymore. We're right now, folks, believe me, we are viewed as the stupid country. We're like a big, big, sloppy bully that gets punched in the face and goes down.
Trump spoke at a fundraiser yesterday in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, to pay off Governor Chris Christie's campaign debt. The leading suspect in last November's Paris attacks is not answering questions from investigative judges. Salah Abdeslam was transferred today from a high-security prison in a Paris suburb to the main Paris courthouse. The November attacks killed 130 people. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists in more than 150 news bureaus around the world. I'm Mike LaBarre. Bob?
Michael, thanks very much. Now, with your Bloomberg, with your Land Rover Parsippany, Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Rob Buschka.
Hey, good morning, Bob. Joe Girardi's new plan, let your starter go six innings, leave it up to the bullpen. So far, so good. It's worked twice in as many days as the Yankees took the series opener 4-1 in Oakland. Ivan Nova threw just 62 pitches. 70% were for strikes. Yet Girardi turned it over to the trio of Dylan Betances, Andrew Miller, and Aroldis Chapman. They got the job done. It's a homecoming tonight for Bay Area native C.C. Sabathia when he battles Sonny Gray. First pitch is 9:35. Matt Harvey's having an off year, to say the least, but the one thing the Met remains is professional, despite getting knocked out in the third inning in a 9-1 loss to the Nationals.
My job to go out there and keep working and try and figure this thing out, and that's, you know, that's all I'm going to do is start over tomorrow, keep working hard, and do everything I can to fix this.
Harvey is 3-6 on the year as the Nats take the series, outscoring New York 16-4 in the process. Homestand continues tonight as Steven Matz squares off with the Brewers' Willie Peralta. NBA Eastern Conference Finals, LeBron James triple-double more than enough as the Cavs took down the Raptors 108-89 for a commanding 2-0 lead. Four starters scored in double figures for Cleveland, who moved to 10-0 this postseason. They've allowed more than 100 points just twice. In NHL playoffs, San Jose's Martin Jones with back-to-back shutouts of St. Louis 3-0 last night at the Shark Tank has put San Jose in front 2-1 out west. Tonight, Eastern Conference Finals resumes. It's Game 4 from Tampa Bay. Pittsburgh leads that series 2-1. And that is your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Much appreciated, Rob Buschka. The Bloomberg View is brought to you by Benzel Busch Motor Car in Englewood, New Jersey, offering a commitment to service, luxury, and value with total transparency from America's premier automotive dealership. Define the way you drive at BenzelBusch.com. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
In a nation with more than 30,000 annual deaths from gunfire and another 70,000 injuries, promoting the safe storage and handling of guns is an obvious task for health professionals. At least it should be. Doctors have both a legal right and professional duty to ask patients about gun ownership and storage, as a paper in the Annals of Internal Medicine argues, as they routinely ask about cigarettes, alcohol, and other risk factors. At least 278 people were accidentally shot by children in 2015. When toddlers are shooting mothers, the need for safe gun practices couldn't be more obvious. Yet the gun movement says doctors who deal with the grim consequences of gun violence should not try to prevent more of it, and it's finding support from courts as well as legislators. In December, a court of appeals upheld Florida's Docs versus Glocks law, which prevents doctors from asking questions that some gun owners might find intrusive. This is how extreme ideology compounds tragedy. Confidential questions about gun habits, like questions about driving, smoking, and drinking, are legitimate medical inquiries. Legislators in Florida and elsewhere should make it clear that physicians who competently perform their jobs will not be punished. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard hourly weekday mornings. Republicans are wasting no time in moving to thwart the Obama administration's new overtime rule that increases the pool of workers who qualify. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Republicans are working on a two-pronged attack.
Looks like we'll see a disapproval resolution in the Senate later this week or early next week, which would, if effective, would stop the rule from taking effect.
Bloomberg BNA's Chris Opfer.
Second, lawmakers in both chambers are looking at whether or not they'll attach something to a government appropriations bill, which would essentially say that none of the money appropriated can be used to implement the DOL overtime rule and would effectively stop it that way.
Republicans say the new rule will force businesses to cut jobs or eliminate lower-level management positions, but Opfer says they have an uphill fight.
It's not looking good on either front.
He says both options will likely result in a presidential veto. Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Nancy, thanks. Data on existing home sales due out this morning, 10 Wall Street time. Economists say they probably advance 1.3% in April. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice from the First Word Desk.
The data are based on closings of single-family homes, townhomes, condominiums, and co-ops. The prior report showed existing home sales rose 5.1% in March to 5.33 million at an annual rate. All four regions reported gains led by the Northeast. The report from the National Association of Realtors also showed prices continue to rise amid a dearth of homes on the market. At the Bloomberg First Word Desk, I'm Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Vinny. S&P E-mini futures up 4 points at this hour. That is 0.2%. You're listening to Bloomberg, the First Word. And the Bloomberg Green Report coming up, brought to you by Wonder Capital, the leading solar investment platform that allows you to invest in large-scale solar projects while earning up to an 11% return. Learn more at wondercapital.com. That's Wonder with a U.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are higher. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. That's right. Gains in the U.S. futures today after yesterday's sell-off. Dow futures currently higher by 48 points. S&P's gained 5. And NASDAQ futures rise by 15. The U.S. 10 yield at 1.86%. European markets are also trading higher, led by 1% gains in the U.K., France, and Italy. On the U.S. economic front, at 10 o'clock, existing home sales. And after the bell last night, Autodesk Q2 views missed estimates. Applied Materials Q3 adjusted EPS forecast topped estimates. And the Gap debt rating lowered to junk by S&P. Regarding earnings this morning, Deere beat. EPS of $1.656 beat estimates of $1.47. Foot Locker comp sales missed. And look for Campbell Soup to report later this morning. In deal news, Oil Search agrees to buy Inner Oil for about $2.2 billion. Finally, some of your Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. At J.P. Morgan, Avery Dennison and BE Aerospace cut to neutral. At Morgan Stanley, Dick's Sporting raised to equal weight. And Urban Outfitters raised to overweight. Also, the Gap cuts a hole versus buy over at Stifel. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. And we are watching Deere shares in early trading. It's up 2.1%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Egyptian officials say they have found wreckage and belongings from the missing Egypt airplane that disappeared from radar yesterday on a route from Paris to Cairo. A military spokesman says Egyptian military aircraft and naval ships this morning found personal items and parts of the plane about 180 miles north of Alexandria in the Mediterranean Sea. The Airbus A320 had 66 people on board. Rescuers in central Sri Lanka have confirmed that at least 132 villagers are feared buried by landslides this week. Authorities say the death toll is at 63 and it will rise. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Yankees downed the A's 4-1. The Mets lost to the Nationals 9-1. The Giants won. The Orioles lost. More on these and other stories within the hour. Bob?
Much obliged, Michael Barr, and let's find out what's happening in D.C. We're joined by Mike Shepard, Deputy Managing Editor for Bloomberg News in Washington. Good morning and welcome, Mike. We're looking ahead to President Obama's travel plans over the weekend. He's headed around the world to Asia, and this is no vacation or sightseeing excursion. He's going to be busy. Let's hit the high points here. Where does this start?
Well, I don't know what your weekend plans are, Bob, but the president has a pretty busy calendar. He's going to be stopping in Vietnam and Japan. He arrives in Vietnam on Sunday, and he's going to be talking to the top leaders there about strengthening commercial ties and countering China's growing clout. And then from there, he's going to be going to Japan, and he'll be taking part in the Group of Seven Summit. And that's going to be a meeting with leaders from the world's biggest economies to talk about issues including trade, security, and the Paris Climate Accord.
And there's really going to be one very moving point to his journey to Japan, right?
Well, absolutely. And this is going to come at the very end of the trip, really in the final hours before he heads back east to Washington. He's going to be stopping in Hiroshima, and he will become the first sitting U.S. president to visit the city that was devastated by an American atomic bomb at the end of World War II. Now, as part of the stop, he's going to pay homage to those who died, but he's not going to be offering apologies, Bob, for the decision to drop the bomb. Instead, he's going to use this venue to preach against the perils of nuclear war.
I want to check in again on the status of the moves to help Puerto Rico in the House. Where is that?
Well, you know, we saw a big step forward yesterday as House Republican leaders unveiled this compromise with the Obama administration and top Democrats in Congress. And this new version really addressed a lot of the concerns that were raised by the Treasury and by congressional Democrats. The key provision, Bob, as you remember, is the creation of a control board to manage this debt restructuring and oversee the island's finances. But as you were asking, this is not really a slam dunk. House Speaker Paul Ryan will have to work hard to keep together this fragile bipartisan coalition.
And how do the Democrats feel about all this?
Well, some Democrats are raising reservations. They're objecting that it doesn't do enough to help the economically distressed island's residents. And one of the Democrats raising objections is none other than Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who we know is waging this surprisingly strong campaign for president against her Democratic frontrunner, Hillary Clinton. So, it adds another dynamic altogether to this.
Mike Shepard, thank you, Deputy Managing Editor for Bloomberg News in Washington, and a reminder that you can follow these developing stories and more on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Now 6:52 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Christopher Flavelle, an editor for Bloomberg View. Faced with a barrage of Democratic policies to combat climate change, Republicans have long sought a good reason for resisting. Here's what might be their best argument. Pricing carbon disproportionately hurts the poor, who spend more of their income on energy than the rich do. It turns out there are three problems with that argument. First, measuring energy costs as a share of income can be misleading. Economists prefer to calculate costs as a share of annual spending, which, for poor households, is often higher than income. That change all but wipes out the regressive effect of higher energy costs. Second, some companies will respond to higher energy costs by cutting wages rather than raising prices. That has a greater effect on higher income households and could actually reduce inequality. Finally, the argument ignores what happens to the revenue from carbon pricing. New research in Canada shows that by giving just 15% of the money raised to the poorest 40% of households, governments could fully offset the cost those two bottom quintiles pay. None of this means conservatives are necessarily wrong. A poorly designed carbon policy can indeed worsen inequality, but a smart carbon tax doesn't have to. Meanwhile, it can protect the poor from the effects of climate change down the road. That may not be what Republicans have in mind, but they make a pretty good case for it. I'm Christopher Flavelle. For more View, visit BloombergView.com or View Go on the terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard hourly, weekday mornings.
Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, brought to you by GoToMeeting. Step up your meeting game with GoToMeeting, the online meeting solution that lets you collaborate and present from anywhere. Be a meeting MVP and start your free trial at GoToMeeting.com. Now here's John Tucker.
Many companies spend more than 90% of their IT budgets on thankless scut work, painstakingly testing and configuring apps so they work even during upgrades or other potentially disruptive changes. And that's where the startup Docker comes in. 30-year-old Solomon Hikes got the idea for Docker while working in a string of jobs where he had to spend most of his time writing app-launching software over and over again. In 2007, he quit a $40,000-a-year job in Los Angeles and moved back to his mom's basement in Paris to work on his pet project. In less than 2 years, the company's free software has become a building block in app development at thousands of companies. Docker automatically rearranges programmers' code into virtual containers, shaving weeks or months off the process of sending an app into the world. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
John Tucker, thanks very much for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Now your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Federal regulators have tightened guidelines for human exposure to an industrial chemical used for decades in such consumer products as nonstick pans, stain-resistant carpets, and even microwave popcorn bags. The cancer-causing chemical, perfluorooctanoic acid, known as PFOA, has been found in the tap water of dozens of factory towns near industrial sites where it was made. DuPont, 3M, and other U.S. chemical companies voluntarily phased out its use in recent years. Also at issue is the related chemical perfluorooctane sulfonate, or PFOS, used in firefighting foam. The Environmental Protection Agency issued the stricter guidelines after years of pressure from public health experts and advocacy groups. The new limits were prompted by recent studies linking the two to testicular and kidney cancers, birth defects, and liver damage. Infants who are breastfed or drink formula made with tap water are a special concern. Trace amounts of the chemicals can be detected in the blood of almost every American as the result of exposure through food and consumer products. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report, perfluorooctanoic acid, Karen.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you, Bob. Now let's check other stories making news this morning on Bloomberg Top. Tim Cook is getting the rock star treatment on his first trip to India. Paparazzi have tailed him since he began the visit Wednesday in the financial capital of Mumbai, keeping Cook's bodyguards busy as the Apple chief executive toured the city's most famous temple. "I'm here to learn," was all Cook said when ambushed by reporters who had waited hours in sweltering heat outside the Taj Mahal Hotel in Mumbai. He flew to Hyderabad on Thursday, opening a development center with a prominent politician before jetting off to another city to watch a cricket match. Just about every step has been reported, photographed, and tweeted.
And from the Bloomberg, hedge funds shrinking at the fastest pace since the financial crisis face a challenge to their lucrative fee model, smart beta money pools that charge a quarter of the levy and often don't demand a share of the profits. The search for lower fees, according to Citigroup, will help propel the assets managed by smart beta funds more than fourfold to $1.2 trillion through 2019 from 2014. The money pools, which operate like exchange-traded funds, typically charge as little as 0.5% for managing money. That compares with the traditional 2% of assets and 20% of profits charged by hedge funds, a model criticized by Warren Buffett and pension plans.
And customers can find these stories and more on the Bloomberg Terminal. And we continue to watch shares of Deere and Company. They have trimmed their gains. They're up 0.3% in early trading. It reported a second quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. Futures are higher this morning. S&P E-mini futures up 4.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 43. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 13.5. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 8 cents to $48.24 a barrel. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moss. This is Bloomberg, the first word, Bloomberg Surveillance. Straight ahead on Bloomberg Radio.